Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. In today's spotlight on the Tulane Green Wave and head coach Willie Fritz. Willie, how are you today?
Great. Doing fantastic. Everything's going well.
Now, when you look at this job that you've come into and this opportunity, you and I had spoken when you had, shortly after you had taken the job. When you look back on saying yes to walking into this opportunity with Tulane, what can you say about kind of hindsight 2020, what you think about taking this job?
Well, you know, I wouldn't take the job if I didn't think you'd be successful here. And, you know, I see all the pieces in place. You know, I love a challenge. Every job that I've taken over as head coach is, you know, the program's been down somewhat. You need to get it up and running. And, you know, here at Tulane, you know, number one, you want to have things to sell. And we've got unbelievable academic programs, one of the top academic schools in the nation. So that's something that's always going to be in our favor when we recruit student athletes. We play in a great conference. I believe we ended up fifth-ranked conference in the nation this last year, and I certainly have been impressed with the talent level and the coaching from top to bottom in the American Athletic Conference. And but I'm having a good time living in a big city. You know, I've lived in some smaller college towns, and New Orleans is really a neat city, a lot of different things to do, and you know, our players really, really enjoy going to school here and living in New Orleans. So a lot of great things to sell. There's no reason why we can't get it done here on a consistent basis.
And when you look at the city of New Orleans, which, you know, I had the blessing and the pleasure of coming down in May 2006 with Katrina relief around 8 months after everything had happened with Hurricane Katrina. And I got to meet the people, the community, and meet these homeowners that had obviously been through a very tough time of adversity. I have the utmost respect for the people of New Orleans because of the experience I have. What can you say about your experience with this community of New Orleans?
Well, you know, I've been here, I guess, 16, 17 months. And the difference that I've seen in this city than other cities, everybody that I talk to who is from here has got great pride in New Orleans, and that's not the case often when you're living in different places. There's always someone complaining about this or that, but they think they've got the cat by the tail here, and they're just so proud of the city. And you know, so I think that's really neat. My wife and I are here. We're empty nesters now, and there's just so many different things to do here. You know, it's kind of funny. I hadn't been in New Orleans a whole lot, and all I'd ever heard of was, you know, Bourbon Street. That's what kind of everybody hears about. You know, that's one street that tourists go to here in New Orleans. The locals don't even really go down there. So it's so many other things to do here. So great food, number one food city in the country. World War II Museum is just unbelievable. You know, there's a lot of different areas that you can walk around and see and do different things. So it's just a neat town. If you haven't been here before, you need to come and explore the whole city, not just bits and pieces of it.
Are you a fan of jazz? I mean, is that, because I know I got to go down into the city and got a healthy helping of jazz down there that I have not forgotten in the last 11 years. So, I mean, is there some jazz in your blood?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I've haven't had an opportunity to experience Mardi Gras as much as I'd like. I've done a little bit, been to a couple of different parades. And, you know, that jazz fest. As a matter of fact, I had quite a few friends that came into town from different parts of the country for jazz fest. But we were in the middle of spring ball. I wasn't able to break away and do all that. But someday, I hope that's in my future.
Speaking here with Willie Fritz of Tulane, the Green Wave. Willie, when you walked into this program, you know, we talk about culture and environment, and, you know, some coaches come in to a culture that has been established in a positive way. Some come into a culture that has been established in, and it's somewhat tumultuous. What would you say you came into when you look back on that first moment that you stepped into Tulane?
Well, they, you know, to be honest with you, they went from, you know, Conference USA to the American, and they, you know, both are great conferences. But I do think it's a step up. I was in the Sun Belt. You know, this is a big step up from the Sun Belt Conference, in my opinion. And so, you know, it takes a little bit to get those players to the next level in recruiting and developing them. You know, previous staff did a great job of recruiting quality people. And we've got some ability here as well. You know, he's got to do a good job of developing their abilities, and we've got to add to them with recruiting. You know, we're really casting a broad net in recruiting. We're going in, obviously, in the state of Louisiana, but we're over in Texas. We're in Mississippi. We're in Alabama. We're in Georgia. We're in Florida. We signed some kids out of Arkansas and Tennessee and Pennsylvania, and so we're casting a much wider net so we can get guys that fit our profile, guys who are good students, guys who can play big-time Division I football, and guys that are mature enough to come in here and enjoy the great city of New Orleans. You know, only 15% of our student body is actually from the state of Louisiana, so it also kind of fits our university model as well.
When you go out there on the recruiting trail, and like you said, you're going to the Texases and the Floridas and the Arkansas and the Alabamas and obviously the state of Louisiana and so on and so forth, how do you feel you're received when you bring up Tulane and you discuss the program and what your desires are and what the school's about? How do you feel the reception has been, and maybe, you know, what are some of those key things that you hear when you walk in to see a kid in practice or speak to somebody?
You know, we've been received very well every place we've gone. The high school coaches have been great. I've got a very veteran staff. I was fortunate that I got five guys on my staff who recruited quite a bit in this region of the country, particularly in the state of Louisiana. And I got a bunch of guys who are experienced in Texas. Obviously, we know the state of Georgia and Alabama and Florida really well from our time at Georgia Southern. You know, we're just selling those three things I talked about: the academics, the football conference, the ability to turn something around. I've had some opportunities in the past where, you know, there've been programs that have already been doing real well, and I've always kind of thought to myself, what's the challenge in going there? They're doing well. I want to do something special, something unique, and we're selling that vision to the student athletes as well. You know, the big thing always comes back to academics, particularly with the parents. You know, this is an opportunity to help yourself for the next 40 years of your life, not the next four. You know, you can get a great job in Los Angeles and New York City, not just in New Orleans with a degree from Tulane.
Willie, when you look at what you just brought up with this degree, not just 4 years, but 40 years that you can help yourself. You brought it up on the teleconference for the American Athletic Conference before as well. What is it about Tulane and this degree that holds so much weight and makes it so special that you've really tried to key in and promote the fact that, you know, the student and student athlete can go a long way if you go to Tulane?
Well, you know, professors have been fantastic. Our average class size is only 22 students. We're not a real big school. We've only got 7,500 full-time students. We're a small university in a big city. And you get that good individual attention. You know, it's just, there's 4,800 colleges and universities in the United States and Canada. We're the 39th ranked school academically. When I talk to people, you know, our peer group at the Division I level is Northwestern, Stanford, you know, Notre Dame, Duke. Those are the schools that play Division I football that also have a high level of academics. And all those schools have been successful, you know, so there's no reason why we can't join the club, and be successful on the football field as well.
Willie, there's some student-athletes that are out there that maybe don't pull the best grades, maybe are not the most focused on schools. And, you know, there are coaches that will cut corners and make things happen in that respect and get that player on their team. What can you say about doing things the right way, focusing on education, and not being willing to sacrifice morality and what is right to get a player on your team?
You know, I think most college coaches that I know and that I interact with understand that, you know, and I probably have a little different perspective because, you know, I've come up a little differently than a lot of other Division I head coaches, certainly. You know, I've coached in high school. I've taught some elementary PE. I've coached junior college. I've coached Division II, 1AA. Division One level, so I've kind of seen it all. And, you know, I just, you know, almost every day I have one of my former players call me and visit with them and talk to them. And you know, it's about the relationships and making sure, you know, it's a real quandary for me with you know, pushing the NFL stuff. I just hear so many coaches, that's all they talk about. I think they're just doing such a disservice to the student athletes by just talking about NFL, 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 NFL. I always talk to her, you know, when I recruit a guy, that, you know, I just want to tell you, I've had over 50 guys actually play in the NFL, you know, regular season games, not just try out, but actually play. And they're all like, ooh, that's pretty good. And then I tell them, hey, I've coached over 1,000 guys. Now all of a sudden it didn't sound so good. You know, but I've had over 1,000 guys get a degree and lead very productive lives. So, you know, just, you know, I think most coaches do a good job of doing right by the student athlete, and nowadays with this recruiting, you know, and the APR, which is good, it's a good deal. We had a 986 APR last semester, which has got to be in the top five in the country. You know, it's a good rule because it makes coaches, you know, recruit quality athletes, or at least they should. And make sure these guys are, number one, staying eligible. Because if you don't stay eligible, you're never going to get a degree. And number two, graduating. And one of the things that we have really taken ownership of here at Tulane over the last few months is career development, trying to help these guys get internships. That's another advantage for us because we've got a lot of Tulane graduates here in the greater New Orleans area. And helping these guys get some practical experience before they leave and setting goals. And, you know, we didn't really have that in place here. And I've had that in place every place I've been. I was a little taken back when I, you know, postseason exit interviewed all my seniors and, you know, really kind of got down to the nuts and bolts what their plans were. And, you know, I had 11 guys and all 11 of them was going to play in the NFL, you know. And, you know, I just wanted to tell me, guys, you know, if all 11 seniors could play in the NFL, then, you know, I was a bad coach this last year. You know, what's your parallel path, parallel plan that you have? It's a good goal, want to play in the NFL, but, you know, what's the next thing? You're going to have to do something. And that's when we really dug ourselves into helping these guys find something that they have a passion for and can help them for the next 40 years of their life.
Coach, what makes you want to do that, want to help as much as you do? I mean, obviously you want to win games. You want to go out there and be successful, go to the American Athletic Conference championship game, make it to a bowl game, move forward from there. But what makes you want so badly for these gentlemen, to be good people in the community, good fathers, good husbands? What drives you to do that? Because, you know, you'll hear that from any coach would say publicly, of course I want them to be successful, but it's another thing to live that every single day. And when you say, what's your plan B, what else would you like to do out there? I mean, what makes you care so deeply for these kids that you have come through your program?
Well, I had great coaches when I was going through the ranks. Matter of fact, my college coach is going to be here Saturday at our spring game. You know, I'm very close with him, and he did right by me. I had good role models. I just think you're doing a disservice and, you know, not doing this with student-athletes. Plus, you know, you got to remember why you're getting into this profession. It's, you know, I'm making some money now. I'm not going to kid you. You know, but when I was coaching at Coffeyville Community College in 1987, making $19,000, teaching four classes, assistant track coach, equipment manager, strength and conditioning coach, lining the fields. I was just as happy, and so was my wife. So you got to get in for the right reasons. You got to have passion, you know, for whatever you decide to do. You know, mine's coaching. I enjoy teaching. I enjoy coaching. I enjoy the relationships. You know, I'm very blessed that I've got a coaching staff that pours themselves in to the student athletes. And, you know, I tell each of them, you're the head coach in your position group. You invest time and you know, energy and effort and you know, understanding what these guys are doing, you know, on a daily basis and helping them, you know, and going in the right direction. And, you know, the previous staff did a good job recruiting some quality student athletes. We got good kids.
Speaking here with Willie Fritz, head coach of the Tulane Green Wave. Speaking of those that have been in the program and kind of something that we've been seeing a lot in collegiate athletics, Willie, is transferring. And Tanner Lee, who used to be at Tulane, transferred out and is obviously playing quarterback for another university right now. What can you say about transfer opportunities, transfer rules? What do you like about it, dislike about it? Because it seems like we're seeing, whether it be basketball, football, or whatever, we're seeing a lot of movement, and at least in my opinion of 14 years as a broadcaster, more movement than I think maybe coaches want to be comfortable with at this point.
Well, it's kind of the time we live in right now. You know, it's the gratification. You know, it's things aren't going right for someone, and they want to get out of that situation instead of making it work. You know, and also, you know, you look at a student athlete's perspective. You know, you go to a school, you think a coach is going to be there, and maybe he's not there. Or, you know, he leaves, gets another job, or gets dismissed. Or, you know, it's a short window. I can see both sides of it. You know, that's why I talk so much about the university. You know, this degree is going to stay with you forever. And you need to, and I don't think it happens pretty often. You know, sometimes kids make decisions on, you know, your team colors, or your jersey number they're going to play with, or, you know, or whatever it might be. Come on a visit. You know, they saw some of those meet there that has nothing to do with getting a degree or being around good people. You know, and that's how they make their decision. And hopefully that's not the case. You know, when I came in, you know, I had a few kids that I really didn't get a chance to even know us. I was hoping to have the opportunity to go through spring ball, be around us, you know, if I got some allegiance to the university, see how that goes. But, you know, I'm a coach of the ones that are here and do a good job of coaching them. And I really honestly can see both sides of the situation with the student athletes and coaching and the universities and all those kind of things. It doesn't always work out perfectly. You know, in life it doesn't work out perfectly.
What can you say about, I know you brought up the American Athletic Conference and spoke on the success of it, the fact that it was a step up for you. I have spoken with Commissioner Mike Oresko numerous times about Power 6, Power 6, Power 6, you know, let's be in the conversation. He always discusses that and the importance of that, you know, in a conference that was looked at by the Big 12, in a conference that literally rose from the ashes of realignment, and now is a conference that's desirable for, even though they're not going to be playing football, but Wichita State to come in, that's very successful in men's basketball and other sports. What can you say about the American Athletic Conference and how you feel about this conference that's not given the respect it necessarily always deserves, but at the same time, you know, you have a commissioner that's fighting for that respect every day?
You know, just from the little bit I've been around the commissioner, he's awesome. I think it is a great message talking about Power 6. I know all the football teams had it on their helmet, you know, P6. And I think, it's also, you know, a little bit of a different conference in regards to the, you know, the metropolitan areas that the campuses are located in. You know, we got big cities with Tulsa, Dallas, Houston, New Orleans,
Cincinnati. So you got some big markets. You know, I probably didn't need Tampa. Probably hit them all. You know, but it's a good league. Very well coached. I was very impressed with it. The difference between it and the Sun Belt, the players were a little taller, a little longer, a little heavier. You know, the receivers were there's a lot more length out there in the receiver position. You know, but from top to bottom, I thought it was very, very good. I think it's a very good conference, and you know, we just need to keep pecking away to get the respect that I feel like the conference deserves.
When the Big 12 was kind of looming in the background, and there was this thought of what is the American going to look like, nothing ended up happening, but the Big 12 eventually got some of the coaches, and overall there was turnover with coaches, and obviously Ken Niumatalolo said, you know, I'm the only coach that was here in that first meeting with the American Athletic Conference, and coaches that have been in for 2 or 3 years are some of the longest tenured coaches in the American. I mean, to me it states that there's talent, and to me it states that there's good leadership, that coaches are being essentially poached to come out. But, you know, what do you think about it as a coach that's coaching in here? Is it good or bad for the conference to have these coaches here today, maybe gone tomorrow? But even with those gone tomorrow, there's been a bunch of good coaches that have come in.
Well, you know, the commissioner obviously would like for this to be a destination point for everyone. I think we're getting closer to that. You know, these are great jobs. Without question, these are great universities. And, we want to keep being that conversation like you talked about before, being a part of the Power Six. I think we're closer and closer. Well, we just got to do a great job of is winning those matchups when you're playing, other like conferences that are in the Power Six. And pretty soon that'll be what will occur. But we got to have success.
Willie, is that how it ultimately happens, that Power 5 becomes Power 6? I mean, is it essentially the non-conference schedule and bowl production of the teams of the American Athletic? I mean, is that the be-all, end-all, is have good non-conference schedules, win those games, go to bowl games, and beat those teams? I mean, is that how this essentially changes, or is there something else that we can look to?
Well, I think it's that. I think it's across the gamut of all sports, you know, baseball, basketball, men's and women's basketball, volleyball, all those sports. You got to be competitive on national level. Houston certainly showed everybody a couple of years ago with, you know, winning all their games except for one, and you know, getting after Florida State in a bowl game. So, that's part of it, without question. And you got to schedule correctly. You know, we've got Oklahoma next year. We've got Ohio State the year after that. We've got Auburn the year after that. So, you know, we're going to make sure that we're playing, a very competitive schedule and compete on the national level, not just the regional level.
And, Willie, before I let you go here to kind of conclude, what would be your advice, not just to coaches out there or student-athletes, but people in general? I feel like, and with my show, it's very important for this, my tagline's where sports meets life. And the meaning of that is, you know, to uplift people, to connect us all together through sports that we love, but to establish that, you know, everybody has adversity, everybody has something to overcome. Some people respond well, some people it's very hard, some people go back and forth. So as a leader, as a coach, as someone who has found success, what would be your advice to people who are facing adversity, facing bullying, having to deal with negativity of social media, maybe trying to get a job that's eluded them, or they have a lot of people around them that are peers in their job that tell them that they can't do it? When somebody's told they can't, what would be your advice to them?
Oh boy, that's a good question. I probably could go on this for an hour. I think the number one is just be around positive people. And be around, have good mentors. I've been very blessed. I've had some great mentors, and I've had great parents. And you just got to be around good people. You hear all that negativity, pretty soon it affects you. And I do a good job disassociating myself from negativity. I, I just don't think it helps you in any way, shape, or form. So that's that would be one thing that I would look at. Just be around positive people. There's a whole lot of things that you can accomplish. You know, find something you have a passion for. You know, if you don't have passion for it, I've never gone to work. You know, I tell my players that all the time. My wife gets a kick out of me because I'm running rings at 5:15 every morning. I jump out of bed, grab my stuff, and I'm out the door. You know, and she's just like, God, you never roam over here. Most of the time, I'm already awake, looking forward for the day to begin and have an opportunity to get better. So that's a little bit of advice I'd give from an old JUCO coach.
And when you know, the world that we live in today, where it's so easy to see negativity through social media, it's so easy to see it from peers, and anybody can kind of say what they want to say to you. What advice would you give in that sense, that, you know, you surround yourself with good people, but it seems like more and more people that are negative try and find a new avenue? What would you tell people in that sense?
You know, it's kind of funny. I don't get on the message boards. I don't read the paper a whole lot. I have been reading the New Orleans paper just to kind of familiarize myself with the area. So I kind of control the message a little bit. I've got my own Twitter, but that's limited to the people that interact with me, the ones I want to interact with. So most people are good. That's something I talked to our players about. I just talked about it the other day. You know, and most people are good. You hear some of you.
From Willie Fritz, head coach of the Tulane Green Wave. Have yourself a good day, and I'll talk with you soon.
You too.